From the studios of 96.3 FM Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California, it's time for the weekly Freak Show. Headlines and highlights for the week ending October 19th of the year 2000. My name's the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features you didn't hear in the corporate press. On this week's program, we'll hear from Medea Benjamin, Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate in the state of California. And later on, we'll hear from Jamie Smith, a St. Louis activist who was pepper sprayed by police outside Tuesday's presidential debate. All that, plus this week's Spotlight Sound. Don't miss the Weekly Freak Show, coming up next. And now, headlines for the week ending October 19th, 2000. This week, demonstrations took place outside of Citibank branch offices in nearly 150 cities around the U.S. Activists are calling on the bank's parent company, Citigroup, to end funding of projects like the Three Gorges Dam in China, which threatens to displace 1.2 million Chinese residents, and deforestation of the redwoods in Northern California. At a Los Angeles protest on Monday, students covered their eyes with $20 bills, cut up their credit cards, and also presented the bank with five checks made out to entities negatively affected by Citigroup projects. Citigroup is the world's most environmentally destructive bank, explained Emma Dumont of the Rainforest Action Network, and until they lead the industry towards a sustainable way of doing business, students across the country refuse to work for, invest in, or buy credit cards from Citigroup. A California performance artist who goes by the name La Tigresa has launched what she hopes will become a new women's movement against logging ancient redwood forests. With a few friends, dubbed the Goddess Squatus, La Tigresa set out this week to deliver a message of preservation to logging crews in and around Mendocino County by baring her breasts and reciting pro-environment poems. She said loggers were generally shocked but receptive to her message. They stop their chainsaws and they stop their trucks and they pay attention, she said. Vowing not to stop her campaign until logging rules are changed, La Tigresa said, "I'm not giving up. I will go where I am called. I want to start an international movement of women who are willing to bear witness and bear whatever else to tell the bare, naked truth." On Wednesday, October 18, 2000, around 30 people occupied the seminar room of the Career Development Unit of Sussex University in Brighton, England, to prevent a representative of the World Bank from delivering a recruitment presentation. The action was held in solidarity with prisoners being held in Prague following the anti-World Bank IMF protests in September. The World Bank representative arrived to find the meeting canceled and the walls covered with anti-capitalist graffiti. The alarmed official retreated to an office to escape the angry group, but was confronted again as he tried to escape across campus. He finally made it to a taxi when Biotic Baking Brigade agent Jammy Tart pushed a custard and jam pie in the World Banker's face. Agent Jammy Tart managed to flee the scene, and no arrests were reported in the action. And finally, Green Party presidential candidate Ralph Nader held a rally in New York City's Madison Square Garden on Friday, October 13th. A litany of performers and actors, including Ani DiFranco, Eddie Vedder, Patti Smith, Susan Sarandon, Bill Murray, Ben Harper, and Michael Moore, shared the spotlight with Ralph Nader at the sold-out arena. With over 15,000 people in attendance, it was the single largest presidential rally of this election season. On Tuesday, October 17th, Ralph Nader filed a lawsuit against the Commission on Presidential Debates in the United States District Court of Massachusetts for unlawfully preventing him from entering the debates held on October 3rd in Boston. Later that evening, Nader was again denied entry to a presidential debate held on the campus of George Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, despite the fact that the Green Party presidential candidate held a valid pass. No reason was given for his exclusion. The Commission on Presidential Debates allows only candidates to debate who show a minimum of 5% in the polls. A Time magazine online poll shows Ralph Nader would win a landslide victory if the election were held today. At press time, with over 1 million votes cast, Nader had nearly 59% of the unofficial poll, and George W. Bush was in second with 29%. Those were headlines for the week ending October 19th, 2000. Medea Benjamin is a veteran author and activist and co-founder of Global Exchange. She is the current Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate in the state of California. She recently made a campaign stop in Santa Cruz, California, and Freak Radio's Old Lady Scar Arms caught up with Medea. She begins by explaining her motives for seeking office.
Well, I've been working as an activist all of my life, since the days of fighting against the Vietnam War, fighting for civil rights, being part of the women's movement, traveling around the world, being part of experiments and social change at countries all around the world. Came back to the United States, part of the movements for corporate accountability, fighting against institutions like the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the World Bank, and then all of a sudden realized, well, how are we going to get these changes we want to see happen around the world if we don't have access to power? And the only way we're going to get access to power is if we build a strong social movement that gets out in the streets and does direct action and really challenges the system, but also has an electoral arm that gets people in office who reflect the views of that social movement.
How would you respond to someone who feels that that is a reformist type attitude, that we can't reform the system, we have to replace it?
Well, I would ask, how are we going to do it? In the past, people have made revolutions through the barrel of the gun. I don't see how we could possibly do that in the United States, given that the military is so huge, given all the weapons that we have in through the military-industrial complex. I don't see change coming through armed revolution. And if you say, okay, it's not going to come through armed revolution, where's it going to come from? And again, I go back to the issue, it's not going to come by you marking a Green Party candidate in the ballot when you go to vote. It's going to come from building up a movement. But as you build up a movement, who are you going to put to represent your movement? You got to have some party, some wing that is going to work within the electoral system and challenge the system from the inside as well. So I say it's not reformist, and I say to a lot of people who think they are more radical than the rest of us by not voting, by not getting involved in party politics because they say that's reformist, I say, you know what? You are just feeding right into the system, and the system is absolutely delighted with you not participating in the electoral realm, because half of you don't vote, and if among young people 80% of you don't vote, and especially the more radical people don't vote, then the system only has to respond to those who pay the money for their campaigns, which is the corporations, and the people who come out to vote, which tend to be rich white people. And that's how the system perpetuates itself. So if you want to be really radical, you build the social movement, you get out on the streets, you do the direct action, but you also go and vote for the alternative progressive parties.
You mentioned that you're running against Tom Campbell and Dianne Feinstein. How are you different? What issues are you addressing that they are not addressing?
Well, I'm not a corporate candidate, and I don't stand for corporate parties, and I would never vote the way they have voted on economic issues of trade agreements that abuse workers around the world and destroy the environment. They are both in favor of privatization of our schools, of our prisons, of our hospitals, of all public spaces that we have in this country. They are both candidates who have gone for every increase in defense spending and so distorted our budget that we spend way more on defense than we do on public health and we do on education. I'm a candidate who is an activist who says, let's put the money into things that make people's lives better. Let's put the money not in prisons, but in education. Let's put the money not in weapons system, but in healthcare.
So you mentioned prisons. How do you stand on the death penalty? I've rarely heard it mentioned by Ralph Nader, and I'm curious to know how you stand on that.
I think the death penalty is an abomination. I think it has to be ended in this country. I think giving the state the right to murder as a supposed deterrent to murder makes no sense of all, at all. We don't need any more studies to show that the death penalty is racist, to show the death penalty is classist, and to show that the death penalty is no deterrent to violent crime. So I think there is a change in public opinion in this country, which is very positive. For the first time ever, you see polls in California where the majority of people are calling at least for a moratorium on the death penalty, because they have seen in other places how people on death row, in fact, are innocent when they do DNA testing. That's a move in the right direction, but I say a moratorium is not good enough. We want an end to the death penalty.
So what would you do if you were elected to office to change, to get the death penalty abolished? And also, while you're talking about that, can you address police brutality? What can be done about that?
Well, I wouldn't wait to get elected to office to fight the death penalty. I'm fighting the death penalty right now. Whether it's before or after November 7th, I'll continue to fight the death penalty. And I think what we have to do in the state of California is to build a mass movement, particularly joining with people who have loved ones on death row, particularly with people in the black community that are, quote, overrepresented on death row, as a recent Justice Department report put it, and that we have to put the pressure on Governor Gray Davis, who has been absolutely horrendous on these issues related to the prison industrial complex and the death penalty, and politicians like Dianne Feinstein, who are very much in favor of the death penalty, as is Tom Campbell. So I think we work to build those coalitions, strengthen the coalitions against the death penalty, and put the pressure on the politicians.
Can I ask you one more question? It seems like corporations and money are taking control over every aspect of our lives. How can we take back control of our own lives?
Well, I think that it's important to have activism, to take action on whatever issue you feel most passionate about, but get active in it and really do something about it. If your issue is women's rights, you know, get out there and help rebuild the women's movement. If your issue is the media, get out there and build this movement of micro radio around the country. If your issue is sweatshops, get out there and, you know, shut down the Gaps and the Nikes and these horrible sweatshop companies. If your issue is the forests, join the people who are trying to save the forest by either living in the trees or building up a movement against clear cutting. So whatever the issue is, just get involved, devote yourself, throw your life into it, and recognize that you are part of a much larger movement where these issues are all connected, and the connection is building a society based on human need, not corporate greed.
Oh, say can you see why you should vote for me? I've so proudly been bought by most big corporations. There's the oil company and the military and the World Bank's plan for global domination. Industrialism's red glare, right-wing billboards in the air, gave proof to the rich a master plan was still there. Oh, say does the partnership of media and industry make my place in the polls and a rich man of me?
That was the a cappella group, this time with Feeling, with this week's spotlight sound, Star Spangled Dollar, from their self-released CD, American Parody. And you're listening to the Weekly Freak Show from the studios of 96.3 FM, Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California. Please stay tuned for contact information at the end of this half-hour broadcast.